So today I'm welcoming back Sarah Olney to Radio Jackie. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Sarah is the Liberal Democrat MP for Richmond Park and North Kingston and the business spokesperson for the party. Can we firstly talk about the UK Power Network's 18-month forward agenda for Kingston and what the concerns have been raised by your constituents?
Yes. Well, I mean, I've seen those big signs that are going up around Kingston, sort of unspecified disruption for quite a long period of time. So I met with UK Power Networks a couple of weeks ago just to find out a little bit more about what exactly is going on. And then it's a project to upgrade the electricity network, and it's sort of going north to south in Kingston Borough, and it's to upgrade the network between the Chessington grid and the Kingston grid, and it's future-proofing, basically maintaining reliable electricity supplies for homes and businesses, increasing demand for electricity. Of course, we've got electric cars, we've got increasing number of electrical items in people's homes. More and more cooking is done on electric, increasingly heating is done by electricity. So it's about maintaining reliable electricity supplies for decades into the future. So it's a good thing, but it does mean that there is going to be some traffic disruption over the next few years. In my particular constituency, Richmond Park, North Kingston, there's going to be roadworks on the Richmond Road approaching Kingston Town Centre in February next year. But I have been having conversations with UK Power Networks about making sure that everything is properly communicated and that they plan those roadworks carefully so that people know to avoid them when they're happening.
Yeah, I understand they're going to go laying a load of outdated underground cables. So that sounds like a lot of digging, and it's.
I mean, it is going to be a bit disruptive, but as I say, it's for the long-term sort of reliability of electricity networks. So I think as long as people are properly informed and the roadworks properly planned, I'm hoping it won't be too disruptive. They've already done the bit along Surrey Basin, and that's been completed relatively swiftly without too much disruption. So hopefully it can continue like that.
That's good. You've recently drawn attention to the amendments to the Employment Rights Bill has been returned to the Commons for further deliberation. What are your main concerns that you're hearing from your businesses and your constituency? And what do you think needs to be done to help SMEs flourish? It's a very difficult business situation at the moment for them, isn't it?
It's an incredibly difficult time for businesses, and I've been speaking to many different businesses, both within the constituency and beyond, in my role as the business spokesperson for the Liberal Democrats. I think there's just a multitude of things that are happening at the same time, which is suddenly loading a lot of costs onto businesses. We had the national insurance increase from the government in last year's budget. A lot of high street businesses are faced with increasing business rates bills because the discount on business rates went from 75% to 40%, so sudden big uplift there. The minimum wage has been increased, which means paying staff more, and electricity bills and gas bills continue to be very, very high. So there's a lot of cost on businesses at the moment. The Liberal Democrats actually just this week we have called on the government in as part of our pre budget, as we're approaching the budget, to cut VAT for hospitality businesses, to reduce it from 20% to 15%, which could then be passed through to the costs that are paid by consumers. And we really hope that that would sort of drive demand, drive footfall to the high streets, bring costs down for people who are eating out or even just buying a sandwich. And we hope that that would do a great deal for businesses in the hospitality sector, which have been hardest hit by a lot of these costs. And that would help to sort of drive demand. But the Employment Rights Bill, there's some things in there as well which businesses are really concerned are going to load more costs and again will hit the hospitality sector quite hard. One of the things that the Liberal Democrats are particularly pushing for is for 0 hours contracts for the obligation to offer fixed hours is to change that into a right to request, and just to help it make it a little bit easier for businesses to plan and to think about the sorts of people that they want to take on. One of the other things, sorry, just before we move on, Jackie, that one of the things that has been increasingly highlighted to me by my constituents is the risk of shoplifting, and we know that shoplifting has gone up an awful lot. It's risen by 104%. Across London in the last 5 years. And I know it's something that's a huge concern, obviously to business owners, to people who work in shops, but also to my constituents. And that's something else that I'm calling on the government to take more action on.
Yeah, I think I believe you've been staff are being affected emotionally, they feel powerless, and petty thefts are being effectively decriminalized due to lack of police force time to look into these incidents. And obviously, there's also an implication of criminal gangs as well.
That's right, and that's why I think this is a real issue that we need to tackle. I don't think it's good enough to treat shoplifting as a minor crime because it is connected to organized crime, and that obviously has much wider implications. The impact of shoplifting on staff, those who have perhaps have been the victim potentially of assault, when shoplifting crimes are committed, as you say, has a massive impact for many years. But also, of course, when shops are, having large quantities of goods stolen, they need to make good on that loss. And so then what we tend to find is that the price of goods that are sold has to go up in order to cover the shopkeeper's losses. So, what that means because of a small number of shoplifters, everybody then is having to pay more money in order to cover the cost of that. And obviously, we've got a cost of living crisis. The cost of everyday goods has gone up so much already. So that's why, shoplifting is not a minor crime. It's not a petty crime. It's not a zero, it's not a victimless crime. And that's why I really, really want to see the government and our police forces get a bit more serious about the impact of shoplifting.
Yeah. Do you think some more support could be given to retailers actually to get together in a consortium type way to share CCTV images so they can group together the problems they're having, which makes it one thing for the police to look at rather than 10 or 15 individual ones?
I think that's right. I think more CCTV would help, and that's something I'm calling on the government to think about supporting smaller retailers in particular to help with to help them with the cost of installing CCTV and other security measures. But yes, consortium to share CCTV, any evidence that can be collected to help the police rather identify and target the people who are committing these crimes is extremely helpful. And indeed, where people have got ring doorbells, any evidence of crimes that they're committing that they've captured on ring doorbells that they can share with the police is extremely helpful. But yes, anything we can do really to anything where the community can support their local shops to bring down crime is also really, really important and helpful.
And also, it might identify repeat offenders.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. When I say that, shoplifting is connected to organized crime, if we can identify some of those perpetrators, that can potentially lead the police rather to identifying some of these links, some of these, more serious criminals, then that's obviously extremely helpful.
Yeah. So we'll finish up with the budget's looming, with all the speculation in pretty much every potential tax corridor. I think they call it the pitch rolling at the moment. There's might tax this, might tax that. They're even talking about taxing bicycles. For you,
Well, yeah, sorry, carry
I know for you as a party, you're also suggesting cutting the green levy to lessen energy bills, which is something you do. But what are your hopes and fears for the budget? Couple of sentences. I know
Oh,
it's a
my word.
difficult
I
one.
think I have more fears than hopes. I mean, you talk about pitch rolling there. The Chancellor gave a speech last week in which he seemed to very much set the stage for an income tax hike. But then this morning we learned that
Yep.
actually she's unrolling the pitch for that, if you like, and then we're not having income tax hikes at all. So, and I think one of the problems she set herself is that she set the date for the budget so late in the year, and so far in advance that speculation has just gone wild, and it's given so much time for people to go, well, she could put taxes on this, she could put taxes on that, and everybody now is losing their minds because they don't know what's going to happen. And I think one of the problems with the late budget, for example, is one of the last paydays before Christmas, for example, and a lot of employers are very, very nervous about what she might have in store for them. The national insurance increase last year was unexpected. They didn't know that that was going to happen, and suddenly, they've all had to rip up their plans for their payroll for the rest of the year. Is she going to do something like that again? So there's a great deal of nervousness amongst the business community. I think what I'd really like to see is that there aren't too many more taxes on business because it really suppresses growth. We've seen unemployment rise this year, and I think that's a direct result of the national insurance rise. There is so much uncertainty. People can't invest, people can't plan, people can't, and that is really, really suppressing growth in the economy, which I think is essential in order to help everybody with the cost of living, with business, with trade, and obviously in terms of getting the public debt down as well. So I'm very nervous about the budget. She's obviously going to have to put up some taxes, but the speculation just continues to run wild about what that might be, and that's having a really, really damaging impact.
And she's also got to look at public sector pay rises. Compared to private sector pay rises, public sector pay rises are still going up. We've got the doctor strike again, still saying they want to go and strike, basing their figures on a different index to everybody else. They've got to have a look at that, haven't they?
They have, and actually, I think that's the political problem for Labour with this budget. There is no doubt that they're a party that wants that wants to support the public sector, that wants to increase spending in the public sector. There's no doubt that that's the sort of thing that Labour would like to do. But if without more tax rises than I think she'd be able to deliver, it's going to be very, very difficult to pay for that. So, it's a really challenging time for the economy.
That's it then. I'm going to let you go because obviously you've got a very busy afternoon off. I look forward to catching you after the budget and we can catch up on the
Yes,
things we've said and it'll be an
I'm
interesting.
sure there'll be lots to talk about.
Sarah, thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Jackie. Thanks a
Take
lot.
care. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.